Hello and welcome to Empowerment. I'm Kelly Whetstone. Thank you for joining me today. It is 10 a.m. Pacific time on Tuesday, April 22nd, 2025. And I am very happy to be back live with you this week. Last week, I had an important call that I had to get to in the morning. And so it conflicted with, you know, being ready for the show. So I went ahead and did a replay. But it's always good to be live. It's just, you know, it's funny, 1 week, and I missed it. You know, I missed getting a show together, but at the same time, it was nice to have a break. And it ended up being like a really, really interesting week because my feng shui class had ended the week prior, so I didn't have a class to write. So I did my spring cleaning. I got my spring cleaning as of yesterday, about 98% done. And the reason why, it's not like I have a mansion that I'm doing, not at all. But I work online. And so I do that. I write my article for the Power Peak. I write my scopes and do all that kind of stuff. So I worked and did my spring cleaning. But it really, really, it felt good. It felt really, really good. So having that, like I said, 98% finished as of last night, I still have the floors to do. And I always wait till the end to really do those and vacuum the furniture, but everything is shiny and pretty and has been given love inside the house. All the glass is sparkly. And the windows were washed a couple weeks ago. So it's very bright. It's very bright and feels really, really nice. A lot of love floating around in the house because I touched everything. And it was kind of interesting. I went to when I went to yoga a couple Saturdays ago, my instructor, and it's a private class, there are just two of us that take classes from this woman who's just a lovely, lovely lady and used to teach it at the studio that I went to before it closed. And we were talking, she said something about getting her spring cleaning done. In fact, she said she'd had her windows cleaned and had to move a bunch of stuff off the shelves and things in front of the windows and said, you know, I used to just power through and get my spring cleaning done in a day. And she said, now it's just not that anymore. You know, I just don't do that. I think I've gotten a lot better. I used to take it to the nth degree. I mean, with everything. Everything is clean. Everything was touched. Everything was cleaned. Everything was dusted. And that's all that needed to happen. But I used to just go overboard, and it would take me a long time to do it. But you just change, you know? And it's like, okay, I have the same result without all that work. And what she was saying was, you know, she's just not as interested in doing that now that she used to be, as she used to be, I should say. And I just mentioned, I said I was doing the same thing. I'd started it, and it just felt so good to move things around, and it really coincided with my feng shui classes because they brought a lot of stuff back into my consciousness that I, you know, had not necessarily forgotten, but they kind of refreshed, you know, for the different spaces in the house and the different areas of the Bagua and how to use them for their potential, to their potential, which is still not the right English. But anyway, so that kind of was motivation and inspiration too. But the main thing about spring cleaning, and I know I've said this a million times, is what you give attention is love. And so it expands whatever it's focused on. And the things in your house are things that should support you and that you love. And when you're touching them and giving them your attention, you're just lighting that up. You know, you're bringing that to life and you can feel it. And so that's my favorite thing about spring cleaning, aside from the fact that, you know, winter, there's kind of a, I don't know, with the heater and, you know, being kind of in your hibernation space, which is brilliant in the winter when it's winter. But when things are turning green outside and spring is springing, that's not the energy that feels the best. You know, you're done with that. You're done with that. You've been through winter and now you're entering, or we are in spring. So when I was telling her that, I said, I love to do it for that, to just touch everything, you know, look at everything, make sure what isn't serving me, what I'm not using or I don't love, that I pass it on to someone who will. So anyway, it was really interesting because she said, I never thought about it that way. You know, you really are appreciating and giving gratitude when you're cleaning things, you know, when you're dusting things and cleaning them and shining your appliances or your granite or whatever it is, you know, it's just, I appreciate this. This is a gift to me. This is how the infinite self is living right now in this house, which is also the infinite self. You know, God is everything. So anyway, I'm getting off on a bit of a tangent, but she said that makes a lot of difference. And I thought that was kind of a cool thing, you know, just a cool little conversation and that she took that as a hello. And not that I meant it that way at all. I was just talking about how much I love to clean. But anyway, the house is almost done and that feels good. And the yard cleanup got done yesterday. And so now there's a lot of blank space in the courtyard and in the flower beds. And it's just been, you know, it's been a project for the past few years because I got rid of all the bark finally last year. That was a 2-year process, getting rid of all of that. And again, I don't have an acreage. I just have, you know, was my friend Scott, my the guy that does all my stuff for me, is really, really busy. So he would come and do stuff for me, kind of in between. And I paid him for it. He didn't do it for free, but I kind of gave him the leeway, you know, to come when he could. And so anyway, finally last year, all of the bark got taken away out of the yard, which made me feel really good. And now there's just nice, lovely dirt. And that's pretty because it's a blank space. You know, it's the space against which you can really see the green and the flowers that come up. But last year too, I did a bunch of tilling and planted seeds. And my ground cover came up, and last year, for the first year, we had bunnies in our yard, and they ate all the ground cover. So it's like, all right. And I've been looking at flower beds, those planter things, and I have an idea of what I want, and I've been measuring and just thinking about it. But now I can really see it. You know, with the, I'd used leaves as mulch, the dead leaves as mulch in the flower beds over winter, and they really worked. I mean, the stuff was living underneath it without having bark. Because I looked, I Googled, you know, what can you use instead of bark for mulch? And leaves were one of the first things that they suggested. So now they're all out, and that ground is just beautiful and ready to do something with or put a planter bed on. Because I have, the soil is clay, so not a lot grows in it. And I figure rather than struggling with that, because believe me, I've struggled. And if you've listened to my show for a while over the past few years, you know, I've struggled. I refuse to. So I look at those and I go, okay, show me. If this is what I'm supposed to get, I'll know. And I'll know which ones to get and I'll know where to put them. And I'll know if they're rectangular or round or how to do it. And again, I had to wait to see what the beds look like, and they're a lot bigger. They looked with the leaves on them. So, okay. It's a blank slate. You know, it's another opportunity to do something creative. And I know that will show itself because I've given it away. I'm not fighting with it. I don't know what to do. I don't know. I don't know. But that which lives me, whose beds are those beds, who is those beds, you know, does. And I'll know. I'll know exactly what to do. And actually, that kind of is part of what I want to talk about today. Not that, because I've already beat it to death. But anyway, I just wanted to say, too, that if you celebrated Easter, I hope it was lovely. I hope it was lovely. It was a nice day here. We had rain and a little bit of snow and cold the 2 days leading up to it. But it was a pretty day. It wasn't hot, but gorgeous and sunny and blue sky. My son and daughter-in-law and my grandchildren are in Gulf Shores, Alabama for Easter break, spring break. And so they sent cute pictures of the kids on Easter morning doing their Easter egg hunt and playing on the beach. So they're in a good place. They're in a really good place. But anyway, I just wanted to say I'm always happy to be with you, and I'm happy to be here today. And thank you for listening. If you can, if you want to, join us in the chat room. Just go to 12radio.com and click chat. Feel free to comment or ask questions about the teaching segment, and I will answer them after the show. If you would like a reading from me, you can find me every day on 12listen.com. I'm available usually mid to later morning Pacific into the evening. If you stop by and don't see me or if I'm busy, just schedule a call or put in a callback request. I'll be notified immediately and I'll get back to you as soon as I can. We do have reduced rates a few times a week on 12listen, typically Wednesday, Friday, and Sunday. And then we celebrate new and full moons, holidays, and 1-2 day. But if you want to be notified of our specials, just go to 12listen.com and sign up for 1-2 promotions. And then you'll never miss anything. And all that entails is you leave your email address. Well, I still have my Welcome Spring 15-minute time-based session available. And that will be available until we make the transition into summer. So until June 20-something. But, you know, this is just a lovely time. This is a time of energy and new beginnings. And my gosh, you just look out the door. Grace and I on our walks in the morning, there's new flowers everywhere, everywhere we walk. And it's just so beautiful to be out there and see what's going on. And when we walked out into the front yard, after it had gotten cleaned up, it's like, oh my gosh, it's so pretty. It's just so pretty already. And they're just starting. So it's a joyful time of year with a very motivating and productive energy to it. So this 15-minute time-based session basically is about releasing anything that might be in the way of feeling that momentum and using the energy of the season, which is cardinal. It's forward motion. Forward motion. So that'll be up, as I said, until we begin summer. And I invite you to take advantage of it. It's a good session. The You Empowered Intuitive Feng Shui classes, as I said, ended a couple of weeks ago, but they are all available as email-based services on my bio page on 12listen.com. Always want to remind you of the gratitude board on 12listen. Post what you're grateful for, whether it's in your experience or not. The advisors of 12listen.com will add our intention to yours. You can post anonymously, so why not? Why not? I want to also, again, thank you for listening, however and whenever you do, and remind you that there is programming on 12 Radio 24/7, and there are archives of all the shows from all of the hosts in the on-demand section of 12radio.com. You can download a show anytime you want. And I encourage you to do that, you know, because again, inspiration is up to us. You know, it doesn't come knocking on our door typically. But in order to keep our cork afloat, as Abraham would say, you have to stay inspired. You have to find things that lift you up and light you up. Because then life is easier. Life is easier. So 12 Radio is a great source of inspiration, information, and support. So please, please take advantage. And I just want to say thanks to Serena for producing my show today and for all that she does for us here on 1-2 Radio. So let's move into the teaching segment by listening to a song called Garden of Tiki by Tao from the Buddha Lounge 3 CD and Sequoia Records. Enjoy it, and I'll be back right after. Welcome back. I hope you enjoyed that music. Excuse me. Now my voice. I need to talk more. So, again, that was from the Buddha Lounge 3 CD and Sequoia Records. It was different. It was different. So I thought I'd play it. So what I want to talk about today is what I wrote about in the Power Peak. And I'm going to share part of that article with you if you don't get it. And that is, I guess I want to call it realizing transitions. You know, realizing when you're just simply in a different place than you were a while ago, you know, in the way you see things, in your perceptions, in like spiritually, and I'm talking like spiritually speaking, which translates into better life. That's really what it translates into. It's just a better life, you know? So going to my article, I was quoting Joel Goldsmith. Joel Goldsmith wrote, and this was actually in the beginning of a chapter called Immortality from the Heart of Mysticism. And he at first talks about, you know, people think that the transition from life into the next is, you know, being equipped with a harp and a set of wings, or transitioning into immortality is, I think he said a Methuselah-like concept of living forever, or that's, you know, that's what that people see as immortality, you know, either dying and going to heaven or living forever. But he wrote, the only death, passing on, or transition is, in the words of Paul, I die daily. The transition from one state of consciousness to another. To die daily simply means to drop the limited material concept for one that's more nearly spiritual. So, sometimes it's very obvious when we transition from one state of consciousness into another. And sometimes it's not. You know, it's like we make a decision to listen to a different teacher or read different books, or, you know, something that we've done for a while. You know, when we learn something new, it's hot, right? It's hot. If it lights us up, it's hot. It's fun. It's, you know, you can, if you're like me, I can listen to the same tape from a teacher a million times and enjoy it and absorb it and get it. But then at some point, you got it. You got it. And then, you know, it comes in as information and you metabolize it and you understand it. And then you know it. And when you know it, it becomes a part of you. And then because we are nothing but pure motion, pure expansion, pure forward motion as the individualization of source, we need something more. You know, we need something else. But it's interesting. Like, those are what you know. Like, okay, I need something new. I need something new. And that's when I'll switch around. You know, I'll go from Joel to Alan Watts to Ram Dass back to Stuart Wilder, you know, wherever. And it's where I'm led. You know, it's where I get the little tap on the shoulder, like, hey, what about that? Go back to that. Or, you know, listen to something different. But sometimes this realization of a transition to a different state of consciousness is just simply that you see things differently, or that you are indifferent to something that would have previously set you off or made you fearful, or you're indifferent to something that you anticipated as being really good or a huge relief. And even though it might have been, your reaction was not to jump up and down. It was just that you're fine with it. Like, okay, you know, okay, I'm fine. And that can be as big a shock. And I say shock because it happened to me recently. You know, it's like I was neutral to something, and this was a big thing. This was something that I needed to, this was something that took a while. And this was actually the call that I had last Tuesday. And it just, you know, it was, there was, steps to take or hoops to jump through and a lot of just waiting, you know, to hear. So, and it had to do with Channon's social security benefits. So it took a long time, and I just, you know, it's like, This honestly was the last big thing to take care of. Really, truly was, which is why I just, wanted to get it over with. But after it was done, after, waiting and wondering, it's like, okay, what do we need to do now? What's next on the list? I was just neutral. And that's what kind of prompted this whole article and talk today. Experiences like that are fascinating to me because it was honestly like I was standing outside of myself trying to figure out why I wasn't reacting to, to why I wasn't jumping up and down, why I wasn't like, oh my God, this is so great, finally done. I just wasn't. I was like, okay, I guess I'll, start cleaning the bedroom. I mean, it was really like that, kind of dull. And it surprised me. But what it is, truly, it is evolution. And I can say that that was like moving away from, as Joel Goldsmith would say, the belief in two powers. Judging everything you encounter as good or bad based on your influences, which are again prenatal influences, early environment, education, and experience. Basically, when we're aware of that, we override those filters through detachment and neutrality. Nothing is either good or bad, but thinking makes it so, right? That's what Shakespeare said. And that's perfect. That's exactly right. But it's not only that, realizing that you've grown, realizing that you are able to be neutral, that you can be present and listen to what's going on in the moment, not be 10 steps ahead. But it's also a decision to not carry the burden of judgment or anger or fear. I mean, because that truly is a burden. It's being conscious and having the awareness that what goes around comes around. Everything is relative, right? We reap what we sow, cause and effect. That is in effect. Cause and effect is in effect in every moment that we live. Every moment. And so being conscious of that, it's like, get angry and you feel it in your body. Criticize someone and you feel it in your conscience. It doesn't feel good. And they become burdens that take up space in your space until you deal with them. So I think it's just that too is maturity and evolution, just realizing that it's just better to avoid it altogether. And even when things come up from the past, thoughts come up from the past, things, arguments or things that where you were offended, and they come back up, it's like, I am just not giving you 1 minute of my attention because when they come up, we only, Michael Tamura said, we only have memories because there's an emotional charge to them. Makes sense, right? They either were good or bad. So when that memory comes in, and especially if it's a time when you felt offended or slighted or whatever it was, offended, I guess, covers all the bases. But when you were offended, then here comes that feeling, that feeling that, I don't know, to me, it's like a tightness that kind of comes up my back, or in my chest or in my gut. And it's like, I cannot entertain that for a minute. I can't. Because number one, it's useless time. It's a useless waste of time. Nothing's going to change. And I don't, why keep something alive that hurts? That's what we do when we dwell in the past, when we allow that to happen. We keep something alive that is dead and hurts us. So, I just, that, and they really, to choose not to carry those burdens and sacrifice it. You can just sacrifice. I don't want to sacrifice. I sacrifice every thought, every emotion about that. I just get rid of it, offload it as fast as I possibly can. Or cast the burden. Florence Gulbenshein, I cast the burden on the Christ within and I go free. Bam, done. And you do go free. But that's when, when it's a negative thing that you are dealing with, But in the positive, it's different. It's not giving something good any more energy than the gratitude for the blessing. You know, appreciation. Thank you, Father. Thank you for that. That was great. After all, if you think about it, and this goes back to what Stuart Wilde was saying in his book Miracles that I taught a lot out of last month, excuse me, that, you know, the kingdom of heaven is within you, and you demonstrated that good thing because you had the consciousness for it. I mean, that's it. That's it. Everything exists within you. Everything. So you had the consciousness for it. We can only live what we believe. It's not luck. It didn't come to you from outside of you, even though it came through some avenue that looks like it's outside of you. It's you. It's source. It's the infinite storehouse, you know, the inlet and outlet. You are the inlet and outlet of supply, of grace, of wisdom, of love, of, you know, of healing. You are that. And to be that in every moment for whoever you encounter, you are that. It's you. So, you know, this didn't come from outside of you. Some good thing did not come from outside of you. You didn't have to earn it. You were it. If you were not it, you wouldn't have it. And so realizing that, you can simply say, you know, give gratitude for it because it blessed you, it expanded you, but you just have it. You have it. Quote unquote, have it. Because really, when we're not reacting negatively or positively, it's because, again, we've grown, but our expectations have changed. And we are different. And we have become more neutral. It's a matter of course as we grow and evolve spiritually. And it's so wonderful to realize it, to just kind of have it sneak up on you and you go, wow. Wow, I'm impressed with myself. I'm impressed that I didn't go down the rabbit hole when that happened. I'm impressed that I didn't react. You know, really, pay attention. Pay attention because you don't want to miss those. That's validation. You know, that's validation that you're on track, on a path, and you are, you know, really being where you're supposed to be and doing what you are supposed to do in this time in your infinite evolution. So, you know, you're not thinking, it comes back to, you know, you're not thinking about being neutral. Well, I have to be neutral about that. You just are. And you just find that you are. And I certainly don't mean all the time. You know, life is a wild card. Life's going to come as it comes. And that's our education. You know, that's how we grow, is in being able to see it as a thing that's happening without being emotionally charged by it, but observing it. So anyway, I'm going to talk, this is going to go more in that direction in just a minute, but you know, life's a wild card. But again, when you realize I was just neutral to that, you know, you're making progress. And that, again, is worth validating. And the other thing too is I know that we live lifetimes in our lifetime. And this, I feel, is another example of it. It's easy to see those lifetimes in terms of, you know, going from one life situation to another, as in getting married or, you know, graduating from school, starting a career, you know, those milestones that we all go through. Those are new lives. Those are new lives. And they're easy to understand. But in terms of spiritual evolution and transitions in states of consciousness, it may not be as obvious. But if you look back on your spiritual path, you'll see it. You'll see it. And it's kind of fun to look back, you know, or to even realize that, wow, yesterday I would have just lost it over something like that. And today I didn't. And good on me, you know. So, what I want to share now, because that's what's been on my head, and that's what I've had to talk about, what I just shared with you, but, excuse me, I've got to have a sip of honey water here. Oh, that's better, I think. So yesterday when I was putting my the show together and thinking about, just all the things that come into effect or come into contribute to, that's the word. All the things that we learn on our path that contribute to a shift in consciousness, a transition into a different level. I heard in my ear the word defenselessness. And when I hear the word defenselessness, I immediately think of Deepak Chopra and his book, The Seven Spiritual Laws of Success. So I open up that book and I go to the chapter on the law of least effort. And I think it really explains those the steps, the things that we learn on the path to the realization of neutrality and detachment, of being able to be the observer, to realize that nothing is missing. Everything that is in this moment is exactly what's supposed to be in this moment. And not struggling. So he writes, this is the chapter on the law of least effort. In Vedic science, the age-old philosophy of India, this principle is known as the principle of economy of effort, or do less and accomplish more. Ultimately, you come to the state where you do nothing and accomplish everything. This means that there's just a faint idea. And then the manifestation of the idea comes about effortlessly. What is commonly called a miracle is actually an expression of the law of least effort. Nature's intelligence functions effortlessly, frictionlessly, spontaneously. It is non-linear. It is intuitive, holistic, and nourishing. And when you're in harmony with nature, where you are established in the knowledge of your true self, capital S, you can make use of the law of least effort. So that is, I'm infringing. That's not the word I'm looking for. But so that's the self that lives you, the infinite intelligent that beats your heart, grows your hair. That is seeing through your eyes and listening through your ears right now, that you can completely trust to take care of you on every level of life. So he writes, there are three components to the law of least effort, three things you can do to put this principle of do less and accomplish more into action. The first component is acceptance. Acceptance simply means that you make a commitment. Today, I will accept people, situations, circumstances, and events as they occur. This means I will know that this moment is as it should be. Because the whole universe is as it should be. This moment, the one you're experiencing right now, is the culmination of all the moments you've experienced in the past. This moment is as it is because the entire universe is as it is. And that reminds me of a story. I think I mentioned when CA was on the show with me that Alan Watts told about a woman who she was an elderly woman and she had fallen in an elevator or somehow got injured and the elevator was stuck and she broken her ankle or her foot. And as she waited, and she waited a long time to be rescued, she said, I knew as I was waiting that there's not one grain of sand on this earth that's out of place. So it's the same thing. It's the same thing. When you are in the moment, you're just in a very different expansive place. Chopra wrote, when you struggle against this moment, you're actually struggling against the entire universe. Instead, you can make the decision that today you will not struggle against the whole universe by struggling against this moment. This means that your acceptance of this moment is total and complete. You accept things as they are, not as you wish they were in this moment. This is important to understand. You can wish for things in the future to be different, but in this moment, you have to accept them as they are. And that's Buddha. You know, we only suffer because we want things to be different than they are. You know, what we cling to, what we hold on to, that we want to be different, causes our suffering. But as Joel says, we are our own liberators. We are, once we realize it. And I said just, and I mean just. Once we just realize that, what we are doing, my stomach hurts because I want something to be different than it is. I'm attached to something. That's why my stomach hurts. We're self-contained. I mean, that's all there is to it. We're it. Chopra wrote, when you feel frustrated or upset by a person or a situation, remember that you're not reacting to the person or the situation, but to your feelings about the person or the situation. These are your feelings, and your feelings are not someone else's fault. When you recognize and understand this completely, you're ready to take responsibility for how you feel and to change it. And if you can accept things as they are, you're ready to take responsibility for your situation and for all the events you see as problems. This leads to the second component of the law of least effort, responsibility. What does responsibility mean? Responsibility means not blaming anyone or anything or your situation, including yourself. Having accepted this circumstance, this event, this problem, responsibility then means the ability to have a creative response to the situation as it is now. All problems contain the seeds of opportunity. And this awareness allows you to take the moment and transform it into a better situation or thing. You know, and this just brings into my head, you know, just getting quiet, you know, and again, giving it away, sacrificing it, giving it to that infinite self, all control, all responsibility, every bit of it, to that self that lives you. And then sitting down in that peace, you know, that peace that passes understanding. When you're worried about something, working on something, and then you hand it off and you feel the shift in your energy, that's it. That's the peace that passes understanding. That's the substance of the supply. Supply being what you need in that moment. Chopra wrote, once you do this, every so-called upsetting situation will become an opportunity for the creation of something new and beautiful. And every so-called tormentor or tyrant will become your teacher. Reality is an interpretation. And if you choose to interpret reality in this way, you will have many teachers around you and many opportunities to evolve. Whenever you're confronted by a tyrant, tormentor, teacher, friend, or foe, end quotes, he says, they all mean the same thing, remind yourself, this moment is as it should be. Whatever relationships you've attracted in your life at this moment are precisely the ones you need in your life at this moment. There's a hidden meaning behind all events, and this hidden meaning is serving your own evolution. And that reminded me of Stuart, you know, Stuart Wilde in the book Miracles. He said, we all arrived here in this incarnation with a heroic mission, something that we are here to do, but we don't know what that is. We don't know what that is, but it's like it is a magnet. That mission, think of it this way, it's like a magnet, and it is going to attract to you everything you need to keep going forward on your heroic mission. And the things that that mission may attract may be not at all what you would like to experience. You know, our relationships, our biggest opportunity for growth, the family we were born into, that our higher self chose for the purpose of our growth and evolution. So there is a hidden meaning behind all events, as Chopra said, and it is serving our evolution. So again, this moment is exactly as it should be. This lights me up. I hope you're getting it. I hope you're enjoying it. The third component of the law of least effort is defenselessness. Here's the word. Which means that your awareness is established in defenselessness, and you've relinquished the need to convince or persuade others of your point of view. If you observe people around you, you'll see that they spend 99% of their time defending their points of view. If you just relinquish the need to defend your point of view, you will, in that relinquishment, gain access to enormous amounts of energy that have been previously wasted. Think about that. This is packed with jewels, but that is a jewel. You know, it takes a lot of energy to defend your point of view. And remember, a point of view is an opinion. And opinions are only true to those who have them, which is why everybody spends a lot of time defending them, because they're not truth. But, and Stuart came into my ear, you know, there is no argument worth having. There is no fight worth having. And he talks about what Chopra calls defenselessness. He said, Stuart talks about it as neutrality, and somebody could point their finger at you and call you the worst person that ever walked the face of the earth, and you go, oh, I'm an Inarin, is what Stuart Wouts called it in his British accent. I'm an Inarin. He says, you just don't engage. You just don't engage. And then the energy just dissipates from that situation. And it's like, you know, it's like a bully. You know, a bully gets their power from pushing your buttons. But if you're neutral, they can't. And neutrality is a healer, not only for you when you're in your neutral space and you're empowered by neutrality, but it's a healer for everyone that you encounter. Because again, who doesn't want to be neutral? Who wants to be all wound up in their emotions? Well, I think some people do, but I don't. And it feels a lot better if you're not. Chopra wrote, when you become defensive, blame others, and do not accept and surrender to the moment, your life meets resistance. Anytime you encounter resistance, recognize that if you force the situation, the resistance will only increase. You don't want to stand rigid like a tall oak that cracks and collapses in the storm. Instead, you want to be flexible like a reed that bends with the storm and survives. Completely desist from defending your point of view. When you have no point to defend, you do not allow the birth of an argument. If you do this consistently, if you stop fighting and resisting, you'll fully experience the present. If you embrace the present and become one with it and merge with it, you'll experience a fire, a glow, a sparkle of ecstasy, throbbing in every living sentient being. As you begin to experience this exaltation of spirit in everything that is alive, as you become intimate with it, joy will be born within you. And you'll drop the terrible burdens and encumbrances of defensiveness, resentment, and hurtfulness. Only then will you become lighthearted, carefree, joyous, and free. When you let go of burdens, I cast the burden on the Christ within, on the infinite self within, and I go free. You clear your space. And when your space is cleared, you're available to be in the moment. He continues, in this joyful, simple freedom, you will know without any doubt in your heart that what you want is available to you whenever you want it, because your want will be from the level of happiness, not from the level of anxiety or fear. You do not need to justify. Simply declare your intent to yourself, and you'll experience fulfillment, delight, joy, freedom, and autonomy in every moment of your life. make a commitment to follow the path of no resistance. This is the path through which nature's intelligence unfolds spontaneously, without friction or effort. When you have the exquisite combination of acceptance, responsibility, and defenselessness, you'll experience life flowing with effortless ease. When you remain open to all points of view, not rigidly attached to only one, your dreams and desires will flow with nature's desires. And that brings us to another example of transition into another state of consciousness, as in self-acceptance. Applying the law of least effort is much easier to give yourself just permission to be who you are now, who you were up to now, how you feel in this moment. Just this moment is perfect as it is. You know, it empowers you to just make peace with the past, because the past is dead. Letting go of your self-judgment and criticism and everything you call a mistake. That keeping those things alive is effortful and struggle. So, you know, we can employ what we just heard from Deepak to work on ourselves, to love ourselves. You're exactly where you're supposed to be and who you are supposed to be in this moment. So love and be you. This moment and everything in it, including you, is perfect. Is perfect. Freedom comes through self-acceptance. When you give yourself permission to be who you are, you simultaneously give others permission to be who they are. And life is just far more joyful and far less burdensome, which is the law of least effort. I love it when a show comes together. That was so perfect. And again, that one word, defenselessness. And what a lovely jewel mine. Deepak Chopra, just that couple of pages, you know, from that book. Just deep, deep, deep wisdom and stuff that is life-changing if you use it. So thank you for joining me today. You've been listening to Empowerment. I'm Kelly Whetstone. We are here on 1-2 Radio, where we're changing the way you listen to the world. Thank you again so much for being with me today. I wish you a very, very blessed week. Please stay tuned for Katie Weaver.